Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello! Hello, everybody! Woo! Welcome to another reality show. I am your host, Golden Hawk. And with me tonight is the lovely, the enchanting, the very calm and soothing Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hi there from the Mystical Mother Earth show.
Coming in representing Brooklyn.
This is a time warp. Monday has met Thursday.
Exactly. We had such a good time on Monday night. We said, hey, let's just bring it on over to Thursday night. So definitely. So how are you, my friend?
Me? How am I? Well, let's see. I'm good. I enjoyed listening to George last night.
You got that. Yeah.
You gave me that link, and I really loved some of the things he said. I love how he really is current and owns when he feels that, you know, perhaps some of his ideas have shifted just because things have shifted. Like, I think there are certain scenarios that play out, and they can play out depending on maybe the collective consciousness or shifts in energy. And I saw that George was changing some of his ideas about what 2012 and 13 could be. And I thought, first of all, it's such great role modeling.
Exactly what I thought. Exactly.
And also I thought it was very, it was very like the card, the tarot that I was talking about, the beautiful star card, you know, you and I thought how it said things would be bright and easier, and I thought, oh, that feels bright and easier. Because he did really talk about a shift, but not necessarily like the crust imploding. And, you know, so I thought, well, that's really, I love that. I love that flexibility in him. And
exactly. I think it's extremely authentic.
Yeah, me too. I really liked the interview a lot. And I'm good, you know. I'm just, I'm feeling all the post-holiday, you know, lot going on. And we've done a lot in the last 2 weeks. And I think it's almost like a little bit of decompression time and, you know, taking an extra breath time. And otherwise, I do feel that, you know, you could go in a little bit of overwhelm, and you got to find your center and calm down. And me too, you know, I was talking to myself today, just saying, I was feeling a little bit like I was just not centered and grounded. And I just said, oh, I know what this feels like. And it's like, just, that's okay. You know, you see with it, it's okay. And I did have a dream last night, though, that this was so amazing that you're going to love this one. That I had been in the future, and I had come back to sort of talk to people about what was happening, and that was pretty amazing, really. And I was just preparing people, and that was kind of interesting. Oh, and there
listen, I know the audience is dying, but what did the future say? I mean,
well,
do you remember?
You know,
or?
It was just sort of being prepared and it was just like I knew I had come from the future, and I told people. And what was interesting, and you're going to love this, is that hummingbirds were around me.
Nice.
And I always kind of symbol, you know, hummingbirds to me are always kind of magical, and they're in my book. And I equate them to, I guess, you know, now that I'm talking, this is pretty amazing. Because what in the magic gown, the book I wrote, that when the little girl is by the waterfall and the hummingbirds surround her, she actually transports to another place. So I just as we're talking in the whole hummingbird dream thing, so maybe for me, hummingbirds signify a time travel or a into another realm or, you know, so I...
Well, you know that they're the only birds that can go back. Did you just say that?
No. But oh. You're reading... Are you reading something about hummingbirds?
No, you did catch me reading something from my webmaster. Sorry, Dave.
Oh.
Well, it just popped up, and I don't talk to him that often. Sorry. Anyway.
No. That's
I love
just,
you.
Like, you know, hummingbirds can go in a little bit of reverse, but in my story, hummingbird was always equated with there was something about to happen that was sort of shifting realities. And I just put two and two together as I was talking to you and the audience that, you know, and this was the first time that in a dream I had ever, you know, literally come say to people, I've been in the future, I'm back to talk to you about it. And you know, there were hummingbirds around me. So it was just kind of interesting. And the night before that, I had a really cool dream about the man with the painted blue nails, remember? With the geometric
pattern.
You want
to share
pattern.
That? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I was sitting next to a man I didn't know, and he was sitting next to his wife. And I looked at his hands, and he had them painted a beautiful cornflower blue, turquoise and light blue and cornflower blue and a little, and they were patterns of like little grids on his fingernails, and they were in these iridescent blue colors, and I just commented on how beautiful they were. And then he took my left hand and my palm was up, and he touched the end of my ring finger, and he pressed on it on the tip, and then he said that was a place for spiritual abundance. And I thought, wow, that, you know, that was pretty cool. And I know I shared that with you. And so you know, whatever, you know, it's funny, whatever that means, I don't know. And
well, and if anybody in the audience, Simon, or, you know, anybody, Dennis, you know, you guys are dream interpreters, and, you know, you definitely have a mystical sense about you, because, well, I mean, personally, we kind of talked about it. I mean, it had sacred geometry in it. I mean, Simon, I don't know if you heard, but the nails were blue. I seem to be getting blue. Blue is coming at me in every direction as something to watch, similar kind of like the way the star is, you know, just showing up in my consciousness. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the star has been around everywhere for me. You know, and did you hear how George spoke of, and I don't know anything about this, so you can let me know, but the polar star or the
I don't, I guess it's a, yes, he did talk about it, and I have never heard of it. I don't know.
And I thought, ooh, there's a star, you know, and I
related
to
that. Right on. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, maybe Nassim talks about it, because all I got was that it was like a stationary star that has something to do with the wobble of the planet, but, I mean, is that the North Star? Or I don't know, yeah, I heard him say it, but I never heard of that. I went to polar going, oh, because it's so funny, I was like, oh, like the polar bear. That's just me.
So anyway, back to the how am I question. I'm here and dreaming and wondering and talking to myself, calling myself back into center if I notice I'm getting a little floating or edgy or, you know, overwhelm or I think that's the best you can do, you know. I think some days are going to be like that, you know, where you just want to kind of breathe and say, you know, get some space. But, you know, to everything's going to be okay. Because you just sort of feel sometimes like, wow, what's going on? So
yeah, well, I mean, because it literally feels to me, I mean, it's the energy. But
Yeah.
But I definitely see how the energy, how would I describe it? It's almost like, it's like it waits for, you know, like the smallest opening of something overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And then floods that moment with, you know, electrical energy, because it feels very electrical to me, which is the masculine. The feminine is the magnetic. When I'm in overwhelm, you know, where everything mm-hmm. feels very... I feel that. I hear that. And, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, me and Simon have been having conversations where, like... I've also been getting up with Scott for the last couple of days because I had the interview yesterday and then today, too. He gets up at 4:30, and there are some days, because, like, what happens is if I go to sleep at, like, 9 o'clock at night, by 4:30, it's like, you know, I'm pretty, okay, I've had a lot of sleep, so to speak.
Right.
So, you know, I get up, and I love it. You know, Simon's in Norway, so I don't know what time it is, but we'll just have conversations right when I wake up, which is really kind of nice. And it's funny, I can't remember my dreams. The last 2 days in a row, he's like, "What'd you dream?" And I'm like, "You know, gosh darn it, I don't remember." But I remember when I'm dreaming. Actually, and Simon, I didn't tell you this. Simon, you've been showing up in my dreams. That I do remember. And I'm pretty cognitive usually of my dream state. But lately, it's not that I'm not remembering. I can't hold the memory when I wake up. And, you know, he was sharing, I know there's some good tips, like, you know, you don't move, don't open your eyes, and, you know, basically run the dream through your mind, even, you know, like verbally, maybe not out loud, but, you know, in other words, if you want to remember it. And I didn't used to have to kind of, quote-unquote, work that hard to remember my dreams. I mean, and especially since I'm not working, you know, I wake up when I want to wake up, even though, of course, lately I'm waking up because Scott, the alarm goes off. So, I mean, which is not, you know, okay, if I want to roll back and go to sleep, I can. But I just get the sense, in my own personal experience, 2012 for me just feels different. I mean, and I know we're only, what, 4 or 5 days into it? And I know it, you know, I'm sure some of this is mental. Because, you know, there's, it, like, I went on the interview and, you know, let's just share this, you know, this intimate moment. Me, you, and 20 people. I was really excited during the interview. This lovely lady with a beautiful little boy, her name is Carla, that her son is Mason, and, you know, I kept the interview, you know, Scott basically told me before he left for work that day, no alien talk, no radio show talk. It's like, because it seemed when I talk about those things, I haven't been getting the job. So I was like, okay. So instead, in this talk, I brought in Native American, because... Because I have the sense that they should know I'm a little, you know, I'm different, because, and not just because I wear a headband and a poncho. They should know that, you know, I just come with a difference, because if they know that and they like it, okay, then this can work. If they don't know that and they don't like it, then I'm just going to find out later, and I'd rather find out earlier. That's just me. But anyway, so for the first time, you know, we happened to meet at the Dunkin' Donuts where me and Scott had our first date. Because it's right around the corner from where I work. So, you know, we were talking, and, you know, I just was like, she's like, oh, did you have a nice holiday? It's like, yep, I got married this New Year's Eve. And, you know, she got so excited, and I got excited. And one of the things, the reason why I'm bringing this up, is one of the things I'm recognizing is that, I mean, this, for me, you know, in all honesty, is the biggest commitment I've ever made in my life. And... You know, I have genuinely made this commitment. You know, this is something that I have wanted my whole life. And there is, you know, Scott's world is, I'm a part of it now. You know, intimately I'm a part of it. And bless you. You're welcome. and so what is starting to happen is, I'm embodying that timeline of having a partner, being with him, and, you know, I'm in my 40s. He's in his late 30s. His father passed a couple years ago. His mom is starting to need assistance, you know, which so many of us go through, you know, our parents age. You know, my father's aged, but blessed be, my father still, you know, is very independent. So, you know, it has allowed me to still be, quote unquote, the daughter and not the caretaker. And Scott is coming into caretaking. And so there's just this dynamic that's playing in my life as it's unfolding. And I it's new. It's new. And I'm not, you know, I'm trying to navigate in a world. And part of what's new, too, is it's not my parent. It's Scott's. You know, so, you know, I can see, like, you know, we had a discussion tonight about, you know, certain handling of his mother. And, you know, I had one opinion and he disagreed and had another opinion. And it's like, okay, well, you know, it's really, you know, that's your mom. Ultimately, whatever you say, I support, because, you know, if it came to my dad, it's going to be what I want, you know, not necessarily what he wants, you know. Now, if we have a child, all bets are off, of course, you know. We'll discuss that when it happens. But what I'm really trying to express here is I can feel the change already happening to me from a, I feel physically the commitment I've made spiritually. You know, like, because we had a bit of a run-in last night, which, you know, and my thought was, I want to go, because this is the way I've always dealt with the anxiety that I've had with Scott. If I have anxiety, I leave. And, you know, and the words came out, he got upset, and I realized literally in my body, I went, no, I don't want to go. I mean, I do want to go, but I'm not going to go, because that's not congruent with the commitment. And one of the reasons why I hope that what my sharing can do is, you know, we make these intentions. Now, the key is to live by the intention. You know, you got to, and it's almost like it's a newborn baby. You really got to support the intention. And then after a while, I really get the sense that it'll support me in the reasons why I made the intention. I made the intention because I want to be in a partnership. You know, so I can't just set the intention and then still do the actions of, you know, what I used to do when we were just girlfriend and boyfriend, or, you know, even whatever we were. You know, it's like that's just not where I'm at. And so I can feel it in my being. It's not yet my skin and my cells. I'm in process. I'm bridging the etheric with the physical. But here's where it has shown up that is very interesting. I went to the woods today, and I decided to go to the woods around Scott's house, you know, just because. It's like, you know, well, not just because. That's actually, because as soon as I said that, no, because I want to get to know the woods here. You know, am I going to make my home here? Am I going to live here for the next 30? You know what I'm saying? It's like, if I'm committed to being here, well, get to know the trees around here. Get to know the woods around here. And oh, my God, what an experience, you know, going to woods I've never been to in a town I've never been to. A lot of fear came up for me. You know, I mean, I was sitting in the car. I had, you know, I'm bundled like, you know, a 7-year-old, you know, layers upon layers. And I was like, I'm not getting out of the car. I was parked. I had my GPS. I knew where I was. I saw the trails. And I went, I'm scared. You know, I don't know the people who come here. I didn't know anything other than I got it off the internet that it's a trail. And all of a sudden, this gorgeous red-tailed hawk flies over the car. I mean, Janine, I'm going, are you for real? You know, and literally got the message, you're exactly where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, suck it up there, big golden hawk. Get out of the car and get to the trees.
Well,
and it's
well,
so funny because
territory. It was new territory,
exactly.
Which is interesting, but there's the hawk showing you you're in perfect, you know, placement. I mean, it's all
well,
right,
exactly.
Get out. You know, you're good. And yeah, that's the you're doing okay kind of message, you know. I think that your feelings are so right on about this is an adjustment to moving into new territory that comes with different, not obligations, but they're part of
experiences.
The life.
Experiences. Yes, different experiences. Exactly,
yeah.
Because, you know, the truth is, I this whole caretaking thing, part of the dream that I am living, you know, as crazy as it may sound, is playing house. That is, if you had to just summarize what my dreams are, playing house is my dream. And I get it, you know, most people have been playing house their whole life. They're going, that's as big as your dream. You know, it's like, you know, you don't want to go traveling, or you don't want to, you know, I don't know, build the next Empire State Building, whatever, you know. And it's like, and it's, you know, maybe at some point in my, but you know, this is my dream, to have my own family, to take care of my family, have my family take care of me, to experience family things. I mean, like, I really do enjoy the whole idea of going to Scott's mom's, and we cook dinner. You know, Scott cooks, and I talk to his mom, and, you know, it just feels so homely. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you know, homey, not homely. Homey. And you know, I've had so many occasions where, you know, in the process of my awakening, I would be alone doing things, and I would always be dreaming about, oh, someday I'll have a family and it'll be my own.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful, but of course, you know, the realistic point of view of that is there is caretaking, there is legal aspects going on, you know, there is changing of the guard and, you know, finances, and it's like, oh, it's not like it was when I played house as a kid. And none of those things are a factor. We just played the house part. We didn't have to play the responsibility part. So, you know, I'm getting a wake-up call. I am. And it's just kind of creating, it just feels like I'm tapping into a part of me that has truly wanted to sprout, you know, wings since I'm 30, which is when I left my last significant relationship. And, so, you know, there's an adjustment period. I'm adjusting to married life. And so, you know, and I got my friends around. I got you. I got Simon. I got Scott. You know, I have everything I need. I need to fit into it. And I think also, in my humble opinion, 2012 is about all of us kind of fitting into our new perspectives. If you're awakening to something different, you know, there's lots of people who have clearly been prepared, you know, like my good friend Art, you know, shucks. He has been living the frequency of 2012 since 1970, you know, so I can see this is just another year to Art, even though in the sense of, I spoke with him a couple of nights ago, or last night, and he was clearly going to, 2012 feels like miracles are coming. And what the miracles are, our dreams are coming true. And, you know, it's hard, because I'll tell you, I'm very anxious at times, and in, like right now, all of a sudden, I got you on the line, Simon's listening, Art's listening. You know, I can feel the presence of all these genuine beings who just, you know, who truly just love me, and I'm grateful for that. And all of a sudden, everything just feels okay again. You know, just... You know, I can't explain it. You know, it's just... but it's beautiful. It's beautiful to watch this wave of everything. Blossom.
Well, you know, it's amazing to vent, you know, it's, you know, to process and vent right in the moment when it's all current. And like I did that Monday where I shared that experience of that woman in the parking lot. And, you know, and we both felt our own shifting and transformation in that show on Monday. And it is amazing when we're kind of all, like, it's all bottled up and layered on top of, and, you know, you're feeling, and then you start to process and vent, and then remember I even used the analogy, like, the untangling of of the whatever I said,
the energy
and,
or whatever
yeah,
it was.
And
yeah,
and it does start to calm down, and that whole feeling shifts, and then there's this, you know, it's like, oh, okay, you know, okay. But, you know, I've had those experiences too, which are surprising to me when I go into the woods, and 90% of the time I'm really fine and not even thinking of feeling vulnerable or threatened by anyone or anything. And then I'll notice there's these unpredictable times where I'm like, feel, you know, and we're talking about, you know, 10% of the time, not even. And I'll go, well, I wonder what that's about. Why, you know, and I have to remind myself, it's like, wait, go, you know, you're fine. Go back to center. This isn't really, right. You know, right. So, but I think, you know, that's a very, who knows why? Maybe we're bringing stuff up from the unconscious, you know, and we're processing
it. Well, and we did set that as an intention, so of course.
So the stuff, and, you know, I always see that as kind of, once again, you know, good news when the stuff comes up and you're sort of, you're not trying to suppress it or repress it or whatever, and you just allow it. And then, as you notice, just even talking, it starts shifting and going, and you start going, oh, okay. And it just feels better, you know? And I think that's an incredible process that, you know, I wish for everybody. So that's the same for me. You know, and there's a lot going on. A couple people talked to me today, and they were, oh, I'm anxious. I'm just feeling stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's hitting me now to feel it while I'm in the woods. Because the second part of the amazing thing that happened in the woods, I would love to share, too. Because, you know, first of all, the place I went to was literally a mountain. I mean, in order for me to find a space that was just level, I had to climb literally like half a mile up a mountain, all up. Mm. You know, and I'm going, wow. Well, I have a little bit of a hill in Devil's Den, and then it kind of levels itself out. Hawk Rock has a bit of a hill, but not initially. Well, I guess they do, but I guess when, you know, it's funny because when it's new territory, mm-hmm. everything seems so much more difficult than when I know the space. I guess it's the unknown. But I was like, you know, literally going, don't you chicken out, Goldie. You go. You're going to do this. Because I also know I haven't been to the woods in a while, and it was like, I was dressed for it. I'm here. Just do this. So I did finally get to it where it kind of leveled out and a plateau, and you know, I was sitting there, and there was memories of fearful times in my life that just started like a slideshow. You know, like when I got left in Sedona, Arizona, you know, back in the day when I met the woman who did distant healing for my mother. And I mean, it was like I ran this whole mini movie of, because when I got left there, I literally stayed in the hotel room for 3 days, 3 nights. I didn't leave. I called my friend. I was in a truly a petrified state. And come to find out that a guy had committed suicide. He was in that room. He went ballistic, lost his marbles, went to another hotel room and committed suicide. I mean, it was like there was an energy in the room. And I used to tell people, you know, anytime you go to a hotel room, you should smudge it or do some sort of prayer or whatever, because it's not that it would have affected me, but as soon as I had that slightly fearful thing because this woman left me, all the fear of that room just piggybacked on me and just took me out. I mean, I was like, I actually, 2 years later, intentionally went back to Sedona by myself to that room, because I knew inherently there were pieces of me I needed to collect.
That
was just whacked. Yeah, I did, and I actually had that was when I went back 2 years later that I found out all the crap that had happened in the room. I didn't know that at the time. It was just a mess. But so, things like that. And there was about four or five of these mini films. And listen to this. Okay, so I'm sitting here. I'm sitting, my back was against a tree. I had pulled out a blanket. I basically have the accommodations of a couple of blankets, these two little mats, and a neck pillow, and a plastic thing that I can sit on when the ground is wet. Well, because I had kind of this uneasy feeling going into the woods, I only pulled out the two mats and the blanket because I was like, you know, if I got to pack up quickly, I just want to be able to pack up quickly. So I'm sitting there. I run these films, or they run me, whatever. And then Janine, all of a sudden, this crack, I mean, the sound of the wood snapping. And, I mean, I swear, I think, you know, Dorothy's house must have landed on a tree somewhere because I have never in all of my days in being a hiker heard a snap go through the air. And when I'm telling you, I looked around. I was at the top of this mountain. I could not see what branch broke,
right.
And it was a tree. I mean, as soon as it snapped, I went, all right, I'm going. I can't stay here. I mean, I was just like, I get it. I'm out of here. And you know, and it was funny because as I was packing my things, and I can feel it now because there's a tension, I was like, Goldie, don't lose it. Don't lose it. It's okay to go, but don't go. And I took the wrong trail. I ended up coming into these people's backyards. And I'm like, what the f*** is going on? And I was like, take a breath. You're following the yellow and blue. I literally brought my GPS with me and marked the car. It's like, if I have to, I'll use a GPS to find my car. You know, I don't know how that'll work.
Yeah.
But, well, and then, of course, you know, I found the right trail. Because I did not, I was totally on trail. I did go off trail a little bit to sit, but I could literally see from where I was sitting the tree with the painting on it. Because I knew today was not totally my best day. And I also knew, you know, I don't know this area. So don't play cocky here. You know, when it's time to go, you want to be able to get on the trail and be back at the car. But you know, if anybody out there or yourself, I feel like that snap was significant, and I don't know what. I don't know what it represents. Simon, I'm totally open to your interpretations. Because I didn't see the tree. You know, it was just an audio snap. I'm telling you, though, I mean, you know that I personally, I don't know about you, I like the crunching sound. Like, sometimes I'll be walking in the woods and purposely step on sticks. I'm a crunchy person. I don't know. I like the crunch. I mean, Janine, this snap, like, it felt like the separating of the atom. It was like a sonic snap.
Well, I do think, though, that we are constantly getting, you know, messages to us that are confirming or working with us or supporting us. So, I mean, the hawk was a definite. And then I would think that snap or the word sonic was either catching your attention, maybe even cleansing, like, you know, these old thoughts, because we did make the intention. I remember saying it on Saturday night. I shared with the audience about what Carl Jung had said about, you know, bringing up the unconscious to conscious is so much different than living from the unconscious state, not bringing it to consciousness, when, in fact, then you believe that your life is just fated. You know, stated, F-A-T-E-D, and as opposed to being able to design your life or, you know, have some consciousness awareness of everything around you, like that the hawk was a message, like that the wood snapping was something, know, and so, I think that, you know, the intention set on Saturday night, once again, you know, you can't underestimate
exactly.
that what we intended, which is all good, you know.
Absolutely.
The awareness of how it can, and we wanted that, we want that to stir up what is unseen, what is unconscious,
right,
come up. And believe me, those stuffed awareness, you know, those memories of when we felt overwhelmed, vulnerable. I mean, I had them and have them too. And it was, you know, just a similar, very similar to your, you know, getting lost on the path, coming home, ending up in someone's yard, you know, knowing. It was about 3 weeks ago, I was in Manhattan, and I had had a great day with my son and some friends, and, you know, I knew it was time for me to head home, so I was going to go catch the ferry to New Jersey, and it was still light out, but it was that time when it was still light, but it would get dark fast. You know, because
right,
it's just this time,
yep,
of year, like it's dusk and then it's dark. And I was heading downtown looking for a cab, and it was cold. I was looking for a cab, you know, a taxi, to get me to the ferry and to get to New Jersey. And I was walking and walking for like 15, 20 minutes. And it just, now this is so, you know, you could never really think, how's that possible in New York? But it just seemed, wherever I was, that this, and I knew I was, you know, heading in the right direction, kind of towards the ferry downtown. But I was getting this feeling of like, wow, could things really go bad in a second here? There was nobody on the street. There was no cabs to be found. I was walking towards the river, but it was getting darker. It was cold. It was just weird. And I was like,
yeah.
I was like this. Do not panic. Do not panic. You know, I was like, these are the times.
Exactly the words I said to myself.
And I said to myself, these are the times when, like, that, quote, spiritual warrior that, you know, you are your talk. So you're staying with this. And guess what? If something happens, then something happens. It's like,
right,
then,
right.
So I was like, so you're here, and you're just going to, you know, so I kept walking, and it was getting darker, and now the lights on, you know, any lights that of any kind of car that would go by that wasn't a taxi, because there weren't any, now everybody's lights were on, and it just was the most bizarre, like, being in New York, can't find a cab for, say, 20 minutes in the dark, and then all of a sudden, I look to my right, just when you go, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen because, you know, I don't know. So I stayed with it. And the staying with it was so interesting because there was times when, you know, if you really could have gone like, and started running and been panicky, and I did it. but
right on. That's my girl.
Right. So I looked down to the right, like two blocks. And at a red light, all alone, is a yellow cab with a light on that meant it was empty. And I put my arm up, and I was like, and I started walking towards the cab, and he picks me up. And it really, truly felt like I go, wow, I'm so thank you for finding me. And he goes, oh, yeah, I never come down here, and no cabs ever come down here. There's no rides. And he goes, but I just dropped someone off at their home, and that's why I'm here. And I'm like, well, I'm really glad you picked me up. And it felt like he was just supposed to find me, you know. And
yeah, right
this
on.
Was the
right
this
on.
Was the greatest thing, though. I love New York cab drivers. I absolutely love them, and
right on.
They're such great people, and they're from all over the world. And I've always loved them as children. Like, I've always felt super safe with New York cab drivers. And they're like, hi, you know, they, like, pick you up, and you're just so happy to see them. And this was so great, though. I go, so I'm going to the ferry at Pier 11. And then he goes, okay. And then he goes, do you know which way I should go? And I said, but I loved it because, like, you know, I said, well, I'm pretty sure making a right is going towards the river. And then it was so great, though, because he was kind of disoriented. And there was something about it that I loved, that he was so honest. He's like, well, I picked you up, but I'm not quite sure which way to go. And I just said, go right, you know. So here we are having this, two strangers having this experience. And, you know, we were about two blocks moving. And he goes, yeah, this is right. This is right. And I'm like, good. but it was, you know, I went from, and this is the cool thing. You can go from this very vulnerable place of like, wow, what am I doing, to this ship where all of a sudden you're in a cab, you're going to the river, you met this wonderful cab driver, he's just lovely, and you're like, wow, did that shift in a New York second? You know?
And, exactly.
And it did, and it was like, there's I think the message is to stay with it, you know, because
persevere.
Move. It will shift and move. And I think getting lost on paths and kind of getting panicky a little bit is actually really cool, because you have to get through something that's like momentarily very challenging.
Yeah.
And you know, when you think about it, great explorers and adventurers, that was they were always doing that. They were always going.
Everything was the unknown to them. Yes.
Yeah, keep going. What's around the corner? I don't know. Well, what river is this? I don't know. I thought we were on this river, but I think we're on this river. You know, it's like, who knows if we're even going to make it? And it's like, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, and I think these little experiences of me looking for the cab at night and you know, in this new woods, they are like little mini adventures or expeditions where...
Absolutely.
You know, things could, you know... And then you
things can go awry, right?
Yeah,
right.
They can. And I was just like, hey, hang in there. You put yourself in this position, you're going to follow it through. That's what I said to myself. You know, unfortunately, I had sneakers on, and you know, and I'm a good walker, and so you know, it wasn't physically challenging. It was more emotionally challenging.
Yeah.
You know, I was going, I can't walk. It wasn't that. It was
no,
like,
right. No, right. But you also didn't go into, you know, there are some people, panic will literally, they don't move, you know, deer in the headlights.
I think this is good practice. Maybe this, you know, this
I
is
agree.
Good practice for all of us.
Yeah.
And I've been in those
for
situations a
right
number
on.
Of times where, you know, yeah, you want to practice not being deer in the headlights.
Well, which is exactly how I was in Sedona.
Ah,
I mean, I inevitably left the room once, and I'm telling you, I didn't eat for 3 days. I wasn't even hungry. I was just so afraid. It was like, a friend of mine had to wire me money. I mean, I didn't have and then of course I talked to, you know, the guy at the front desk, and he's like, oh, you know, there's a shuttle that you can pay by credit card back to the airport. You know, I mean, there was a Friendly's restaurant like two doors down. I could have been okay, but her leaving me and taking the car just like, I mean, literally flipped my lid. And I just thought it was so interesting that it would come up today in the woods. You know, it's like, because I think on some level, this is going to sound crazy, but being married is just as scary to me.
Well, you know, I think if you look at a commitment like that, that it could shake up some of those old unfinished memories of, you know, of, oh my God, where am I? What am I doing? What have I done? You know, is everything going to ever be all right? And I think those are important contrasts. You know, because, I mean, I just think you have to experience those and then move through them, you know, and you can do things differently. Like, for instance.
In fact, I think it's imperative you do things different. It's imperative of that.
Yeah. And isn't it amazing that, you know, really the shuttle was there to take you to the airport and Friendly's was two doors away. And
right,
you know,
which I learned two years later. Right.
Guess what? You know, really what it became is a head trip.
And my
whole taxi thing really could have headed in a head trip and was, you know, borderline. But I was, you know, I was like, you know, you're going to stay with this, you know. And you did too, though. I mean, I think that your Sedona experience was more of an extreme, but like, hey, that's okay, because once you have those extremes, you know, you can kind of go back and go, well, this is not 3 days in Sedona.
Exactly. And
you
it's
have
because
a comparison.
Like, exactly. I mean, because, you know, one of the things I did when I got to the car today, I mean, I was like, I purposely, you know, I put all my gear in the car. I have like snacks that I always have in the backpack, you know, crackers and some cheese. And I just stood outside the car and ate the crackers because I was like, I didn't want to get in the car in a fearful state and just run away. You know, I want to own my space and own my choices. And of course, as I'm eating the crackers at the car, outside the car, not inside the car, outside the car, the hawk showed up again. You know, it's like, and it was like, I mean, because I really do kind of get that whole idea of, you know, when synchronicities happen through nature, you can't, because I want to read something that Simon just wrote about what the snap could be, and I think he's on to something. Anyway, let me make it bigger, because God knows Goldie's blind. Okay, he goes, wait a minute. This might be relevant to think of it in the context of how Stephen Hawking is researching time and space. That's what I'm getting. First it was the Big Bang, and then this stretched out balloon with the universe within it, and at the end it's going to crunch together. So in that context, I see Goldie is ending one timeline or universe and starting up anew.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that feels right. I mean, it's like, because I got the idea that snap wasn't necessarily to snap me out of it, that wasn't, because if anything, that snap kind of elevated me, but the snap did feel like it was like a completion. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, a shifting of something. Because I thought it was really interesting that I couldn't see the tree that went down.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, maybe I was heading towards it when I was heading towards the
well, you know, you used the word
house.
Did you want use the word sonic? No.
Well, that's what. Yeah, I said it sounded like a sonic crack.
Right. So maybe you were traveling at the speed of light.
Yeah. Well, I mean, truly, I mean, because I definitely feel lately that, you know, like the whole idea of setting the intentions and people having an understanding of how the universe literally is conforming to all of us in whatever we're choosing and wherever we're intending, you know, like, you know, to be aware, consciously aware of the power that comes out of us when we make these choices. And that, like, remember when George said, if we could see the unseen, it would just floor us. Now, of course, I'm realizing George was basically saying, if you went to a church and you could see the energies and the entities that are affiliated with, you know, baptisms and all sorts of these rituals, he's like, you would be blown away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is actually, you know, taking part of these quote-unquote, what we think are, you know, because I've heard people say, you know, listen, I really don't want to baptize my kid, but, you know, it makes my parents happy, so, you know, we're going to just... Yeah, exactly. You hear that a lot about a lot of things, you know, where, you know, it's not that much to me, but I'm going to do it because so-and-so wants it done. And what I'm, you know, with the show, with me and Janine on Monday, you know, what this is all about is, boy, what we're doing, let's A, be responsible for, and B, recognize just exactly what you are doing when you make intentions and when you do, quote-unquote, rituals. And and when you're, because if you're not aware of what's going on in that 99.9% space, you know, there's a lot going on there. There is a lot going on there. And, you know, I'm kind of like with everybody else. I'm not channeling anything in the sense of, you know, there's no beings coming through me. I have a sensitivity. I mean, there was a thread going the other day where everybody was, a good friend of mine, that good friend I was telling you from high school.
Yeah.
she had wrote on the thread, it was her thread, saying, you know, I'm tired of being sensitive. I'm, you know, my husband's sensitive too, but he handles it better, and I'm tired of feeling bad all the time. And, you know, I could tell she was, you know, kind of relating the pain she was in to the sensitivity. And, you know, everybody had their comments, and I just wrote a very simple comment, and I went, sensitivity, you know, is very important when you're doing soul work. Or no, I wrote, sensitivity is a blessing when you're doing soul work, because it starts helping you become aware of how much is in this space. What, you know, if you're not sensitive, it just looks like empty air. When you are sensitive, you recognize that the intentions we were setting on Saturday night were changing, indeed changing timelines. And, you know, whether you were marrying your higher self or marrying your boyfriend or just intending, you know, to have peace and clarity, whatever it is, there is a significance to our words, to our intentions. There really is power in those experiences. And for me, you know, we're in January 5th, and holy moly, I'm like, okay, I have really, I think a little bit almost unconsciously, I say that because I've kind of unconsciously taken on this change, but now because I'm committed to it, well, now I'm making it conscious, you know, in other words, I'm seeing it, not running home and recognizing. My mom used to always say, you know, stop looking for the highs and wallowing in the lows. Just look for the middle ground.
Uh-huh.
She's like, she goes, you're always looking for that really excitement thing. She's like, and I get the sense that, you know, part of what a family is it's not that you can't get excited and you don't have low points, but the maintenance of a family is really established, you know, in holding the space of peace and center. So, you know, that almost like to be the hub of the wheel, I want to be the center space for Scott. So when he goes into overwhelm, he can come into my space and feel more relaxed. Not that, you know, he goes into overwhelm, I'm into overwhelm, and now we're headbutting each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're both in overwhelm. Yeah,
right.
I think
is very icky.
Yeah, no, and it's just another, I mean, when you're, you know, sensing, like, say that happens, and, you know, you just, okay, so that just recently happened, say, but then you have this contrast of what that feels like versus what doing it differently feels like, which is not to go over into overwhelm. It's like, it's the difference between me going into panic mode because I couldn't find a taxi, versus staying with, you know, my center, my calmness, and just keep moving along. And, you know, and I mean, it's just sort of, you're in it, so you're just going to do the best you can in it, rather than, you know, going, and running down the street, freaking out. And I think, you know, the contrast, though, teaches you something. Like, now you know, it's like, I know what it feels like.
No, that's right. Yeah, sorry.
So you know what it feels like to kind of both be in overwhelm, and that doesn't feel good. You know, so for you, being in an awareness state, you know how, you know, you learn not to do that. And I learn really well by, like, how you described, you know, how you were feeling in the car before you got out, or when you were on the path. You know, I use those feelings, like, oh yeah, remember that? That's what it feels like. So don't, so use that again. You know, that's what I'll do. And I, you know, like, and the cab was a great example of using that.
Yeah,
again.
Exactly. Well, it's important. Not to do the things that create, you know, I hear everybody looking to avoid these feelings. You know, you see it all over Facebook. You know, if somebody's coming at you with a negative energy, just love them and don't get angry. It's like, I don't resonate with that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, like, I think it's important for us to confront these experiences. I really do.
You know, it's really healthy to know, I mean, and this is all learning, because, you know, what, you know, right. You're just, that's just what you just said about someone coming at you with anger. I mean, I also wouldn't want to know what healthy boundaries are, because, you know, not allowing someone to sort of spew their stuff on you or spill is really, like, for my, would be my intention would be to know what a healthy boundary feels like. And it's not like you have to, you know, act out in anger, but there's a certain neutral place or center point where you are, you know, you have a boundary that doesn't allow that coming in at you, because, and maybe that is love, I don't know, but, you know, I think that there's certain, I don't know, it's kind of like a strength. To me, that feels like a coming from a place of strength is
right. That,
you know, and I, once again, I did hear George talk about his love and lighter thing, and, you know, I do relate to that, you know, where there's a certain strength and, like, no, that doesn't work for me, you know, and no sometimes is a really good answer, and it's okay, you know, and it's like, I don't know, I admire that kind of strength. And
yeah, because that's the whole point, right? I mean, because I'll be honest with you, the first 30 years of my life, I spent in fear of damn near everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you don't confront it, it can't get transmuted with a pill or, you know, I don't know, or a prayer. I mean, I'm not saying that the prayers don't help, but ultimately there's an action that has to be taken that allows you to experience the fear and then respond differently. I mean, that's just,
well,
and until,
you know,
that action's taken.
I was thinking about that today, that there's, that really, what you just described to me, clarity comes when you stay with something, you know, and because, even if it's uncomfortable and you're just,
yes,
you're with, and there's somehow you move through and there's a clarity that wasn't there before. And
yes.
Yeah, and I know, I mean, I just know that. And maybe that's, you know, that's obviously it's something I've been thinking about for many years. But I think maybe these are the times where this is really more important than ever, that we don't run away from
exactly
the challenge or the difficulties or the uncomfortable feelings or the, you know, or be the deer in the headlights. It's just, there's a gift. There's gifts on the other side when you don't do that. And by the way, that's really where the gifts are anyway. Because I was thinking about people that I know where they want to go for the medication, or, you know, oh, I'm feeling weird, and they avoid that. And I'm going, if they only knew, that's exactly where they need to go, because it's through the other side. And I couldn't be a bigger proponent of that, you know. It's just
I hear you. It's why I love having you as, you know, as my wingman, because I'm a proponent,
you know, like
proponent.
Yeah,
it's an aspect of it, right? It's
you're supporting it, you're an advocate of it.
Okay,
you know,
exactly.
Yeah.
And it's also the reason why, you know, and it's so funny how certain things just happen on Thursdays. I mean, it's so, just, or Mondays. You know, it seems like, you know, my life is, the spirit's directing me. Oh, you're going on the air today? All right, let's throw Goldie a curveball.
Yeah.
So she can talk about it on the radio, and it's fresh, and, yeah, I mean, even though, you know, trust me, my life is challenging every single day, but I don't know, because, you know, as I sit here right now, I can tell you that whatever seems to be coming down the pike in all of this, exactly like you were saying, these things that I'm doing, like just being able to sit in the woods for an hour by myself, climb a hill that's challenging, drive someplace where I'm not totally comfortable you know, and I didn't say show me a sign. The sign showed up, and I went, okay, you know, keep moving forward with this. I know you're scared. It's okay. Universe got your back. You know, I am his presence. The, you know, when and or if, you know, the big kahuna shit hits the fan, it is the little things we're doing in life that will be applicable to that circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think everybody's like, you know, how do I prepare? How do I prepare? And, you know, a lot of people are doing the, you know, gathering of food and, you know, they're preparing their physical world for, you know, the big whatever that's coming down the pike. But what about emotionally? I mean, because personally, I don't know, food and or water. I got a brook beside my house, and that's actually one. You know, okay, so I've got access, at least on my property, I've got water, and, I don't know, I've got a few tricks up my sleeve energetically. Maybe somebody would offer me bread and butter for that. I don't know. I just don't seem to worry so much about bread and food and water. I want it to be that when, you know, when whatever's going to happen, if it's hitting the fan, I want to have a space where I know I can handle it. And clearly that is going to be my part because I have been doing these small and or large steps in the direction of, mm-hmm. okay, you're afraid? Well, keep going, babe, exactly mm-hmm. like you did at the cab. Because, you know, I think, I guess, and intuitively I'm getting that, I guess you don't need to mentalize this. In other words, your soul will be guiding you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because maybe the people, obviously, if the people are planning with the food, who do you think is going to have the food when I have the... They'll have the food. I'll have the peace of mind.
It's the alchemy of, you know, I mean, really, it is a head trip. And so the alchemy is in, you know, almost what they call the disciplined mind, which is, you know... Don't go there, stay with it, you know, and I think that I'm not worrying about, you know, the lack
what's
or
coming.
The food. I think that
right.
things will show up as you need them, and that's really the way I choose, you know. I'm not worried about that, you know.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that, but I get some people are, and that's, you know, I mean... Mm-hmm. We might not have trucking, you know. I mean, who knows? We might not have grocery stores for. We might gas might become part of, you know, the disappearance for a bit, you know, because for whatever reason, you know what I mean? Because truth be told, I was listening to somebody about the economic collapse, and he goes, "Listen, there could be a time when we, you know, banks just they're not open." You know what I mean? I think there's a lot happening behind the scenes that you know, we're getting trickles of, but how it's going to play out. Truth is, nobody knows.
Right.
Nobody knows that. You know, so, you know,
I guess I'll always, you know, it's kind of funny. I mean, I always feel like I'll find that cab.
Yeah, no, see, right on. And you know what? I believe because you know that, you will.
And he'll be right great, on. And he'll just happen to be there, you know, just in the nick of time, and he'll go, which way do you think? And, you know, then I'll just point, you know, that was one of those moments where I just went, wow, when you need something, it shows up, you know, and
and
the scene was so perfect because it was just so empty and two blocks away.
Yeah, except for him, yeah.
Yeah, this lone cab. And, you know, I just feel like that's such a great analogy for
life.
You know, yeah, for life.
Life. Right on. You know, and well, yeah, I mean, because I guess, you know, everybody's got, because, you know, part of me is saying everybody's being prepared in the way that they're supposed to be prepared. There's no wrong way to be prepared, you know, and I don't want to put that into the ethers. You know, if indeed you're in a fearful space, I mean, in my humble opinion, the way to understand, because this fear, it's not about overcoming per se. I mean, it is, but it's not, it's like cancer. You know what I mean? It was funny. We went over Scott's house today, right? Scott's mom, and she was watching this thing on Dr. Oz, foods and stuff, on how to beat cancer, you know, cancer-fighting foods. Which, you know, of course, for the first time in my whole life, I said, oh, let me just check it out. And it was interesting, though, because as I was watching Dr. Oz pumping the whole cancer, you know, the cancer foods, this is working for you, cancer foods. And I was like, I mean, intuitively, I went, this message is a little distorted for me, because first you're pumping the cancer, and then you're pumping the foods that fight it. Like there could be a lot more high frequency ways to share this information without pumping the cancer thoughts. But I did find it interesting, you know, that I was just sitting there, because normally, like when we get the Scotts, I go into the kitchen with Scott and he starts cooking and his mom joins us, and we came in and Scott went in the kitchen and she was watching TV, so I just sat down and she got up and I didn't. And it just seems like there's a directional, you know what I mean? It's like, because I definitely have the sense my soul is putting me exactly where I need to be. And by the way, orange foods, I might as well just share with you what I got. Orange foods like squash and sweet potatoes and pumpkin are good for breast cancer.
Uh-huh.
Red beans and pinto beans are good for colon cancer, or prostate and colon cancer. And sauerkraut is good for all cancers. That was the three foods that he highlighted. So, I mean, I might as well share it because, you know, I watched it. It's so funny because, see, now that I'm calmed down, and it's so funny that I'm calmed down on the air. You know, I wasn't before the air. Now that I'm calmed down, everything seems so much clearer, because that's the thing about fear. Fear really can mess with the whole intuitive, soulful connection. You know, it seems like the first thing that gets shut off in fear is your connection to the I Am, or your soul letting you know that all is well.
Yeah, that's right. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And I mean, and that's, I still think, you know, like, so that's a contrasting situation where you're not, and then there'll be the next time where you go, remember that? And then you actually can revisit it, but you can do it differently, which is,
definitely,
you know, that's the teaching of contrast, you know, it's like, or experience. I mean, you know,
right.
Yeah. So, you know, we know, I mean, I was feeling that today. I was going, oh, you know how this feels, you know, so just stay with it. And just, it's, you know, and I guess, I don't know, you just get practice at knowing that, you know, it's almost like, okay, overwhelm and fear just entered the room.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's almost like, did you hear the part about George when George said, addictions and everything in the universe is consciousness, so ultimately there's an entity behind everything?
Yes, I did hear that.
Yeah, and
that was amazing.
That is amazing information. And I was like, because when he said that, I was like, it literally struck me. It's like, oh, that's the cake and candy aspect of me. It's an entity.
Yeah.
And it's not like, it seemed like for some reason, you know, the cigarettes and the drugs, I could picture that being an entity. For some reason, it was like, don't you, you know, it couldn't be chocolate.
Never.
And yet I'm like,
no, I'm like,
never. That is sacred. But I really am getting that, you know, the whole sugar / chocolate / cake thing. It's like, okay, that's the next thing for me to work on. Because he was talking about some technique that an Aborigine uses, that you go into your timelines and you remove these entities, and by removing these entities, I mean, this shaman was going into prisons, the prison system, and the shaman was removing the schizophrenia, the paranoid schizophrenia out of people, because it was actually just an entity, you know, that was having the human behave, you know, by killing people and, going mass destructo. Mm-hmm. And George found it very interesting that they would only use the shaman for the inmates that were just beyond consolable, they're serial killers or whatever, the really disturbed mm-hmm. and challenged one. He goes, but the prison system said to the shaman, we can't let you do everybody because then we'll be out of a job.
Yeah, isn't that rough?
Oof. Yeah, I mean, it was like,
yeah.
God,
yeah.
We're still in that duality. But to be honest, there's a part of me that really understands. The third and fourth dimension is never going to be balanced. It's not a part of what the dimension is. If we want to be in total harmony all the time, we must move up to the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Or move the fifth in, but meaning the third and fourth are just behaving authentically as the third and fourth.
that's
what the third
point.
And fourth
that's
is.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why decisions like that happen in the third and fourth, because it's never going to be heaven on earth until we become the fifth dimension, and then we will experience earth as, heaven on earth. So, but nonetheless, it just had me thinking because, it's fear, because I was thinking about it today. I wonder if I could get a hold of George and somehow work with this shaman. And then I kind of started thinking to myself, well, listen, I've quit cigarettes, I've quit drugs, I've basically quit alcohol. It's like once you start getting an idea of the power you have in your own experience, ultimately what these entities are, they're feeding through us. Our behavior becomes the feeding of beings. And by the way, we all have these entities because it's an organic universe. And so this is, anybody that's walking around going, I have no entities, well, they have an entity that's telling them they have none. There is nobody out there without entities. It's part of the experience we came here to experience. Now, that's not to say some people might have more than others, and you can clearly see, the vampire, so to speak, on the planet. But so what started going through me, it's like, okay, so ultimately what I have to start at some point is I got to starve the entity of the sugars and the cakes, because that's what the entity's feeding on, the sugars and the mm-hmm. cake. And then it hit me, it's like, oh, and I'm already kind of supporting that through the 100-day challenge of being on the treadmill.
Okay.
Simply because, the minute you start moving your energy, you start thinking, oh, okay, instead of going downstairs to have a piece of cake, the other day I went down and I made myself a Caesar salad.
Mm.
It's like, and not thinking about it, just seemed like it just where I wanted to, that's what I was craving, salad. And
uh-huh.
I'm going, you just start kind of seeing, it's almost like, life gives you the support of like all of a sudden, it all kind of trickles down. Like my union with Scott has absolutely, because it's been a dream to kind of have a family and be married, it's almost like there's other entities that are not in my field but supporting me to be sovereign. And in my sovereignty, those entities, might flash something, or I don't know how this works. Just that, okay, all of a sudden now I'm doing a 100-day challenge where I'm moving my energy. I'm not as lethargic. I have motivation. That's what
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
Because for many months, I just didn't have it. And I tell people all the time, you can't fake when you don't have it. If you don't have it, And the key is, it's just like when people, there's nothing to be ashamed of if you're not motivated. Because I found when I was not motivated to create anything, even though I did create the mystical, but the idea to create the Mystical Mother Earth Show came in the void. If you can't create anything, though, what you can always do is integrate that which is there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and never underestimate the power of integration. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It really is. It's what's giving me the stability. Everything I've integrated gives me the stability to know that I'm at least going to have a fighting chance in this marriage because I've integrated enough of my other dysfunctions that I can at least put my best foot forward, definitely the strongest foot I've ever had to put forward to go through with this, this arrangement of a relationship and a commitment. I've never been as stable as I am, and I get it that, I don't have a job. There's a lot of things I don't have, but when it comes to my emotions and my ability to manage energy, I'm as stable as I've ever been in my life. So,
And aware.
Definitely
like of old behaviors versus new choices.
Yeah.
Of how to be or how to respond or, that's such a fascinating subject about when I said, enter the room fear and the overwhelm. And then you said about how the entities, are attached to those maybe behaviors or emotions or whatever. But that's really
deep.
Amazing. Yeah, it is. And maybe, as we bring up the unconscious and we become more conscious and aware of the subtle and you learn by contrast and know that there are different choices to be made, and maybe that's the reduction in entities.
Well, exactly. Not maybe. Right. It's because the sovereignty comes when we start understanding anybody who's ever dealt with any kind of addiction, and it can be any addiction. I'm not just talking, the drugs and alcohol. That's, God knows, that's only one aspect of addiction. Addictions
right.
to relationships, addictions to food, addictions, truly, they could be anything. The key is to understand the dynamic and then start, if it's food, of course, there are certain things in life, like, because I felt at one point I was addicted to sex. And, I was telling Janine this, in a call the other day. Everything that I've created up until this point, and specifically Scott in my life, Janine in my life, Art in my life, and Simon, who are people that I'm, pretty much, I talk with and confidant with, on a daily basis. Nothing in those things, of course, other than Scott, but even Scott, we're not focused on sex. And, and you can go, well, of course, that's normal. Well, yeah, maybe for normal people, but for somebody who, was molested at 3 years old and, my whole life was surrounded, engulfed, and embodied in, I was seeking love. And my initial belief when I was growing up, based on a thought my molester told me, was that I was here to please men sexually, and that was my purpose. And I took that on because, when we're in those early years, you don't question the truth. It's what people say, and that's what you become. And I'm actually, for the first time in my life, all of these relationships have nothing to do with sex. They have to do with intimacy,
mm-hmm.
but not sex. And it's
mm-hmm.
like, I when I had this conversation with you, Janine, I really was like, holy moly, that is a new timeline. That is an extraordinarily new timeline for me, because the intimacy is what I was always, always, always seeking. And
yeah.
I used to think I was going to, I would present myself sexually to get it. And now that I have it in a very organic, natural way, it's like, I'm just, I just don't run my life through my second chakra. I just don't. I run it through all of my cells and my imagination. And it's just, it is so magical to have these really, really deep, juicy, intimate relationships with several people in my life. And I never get that cringe of, when somebody says, oh, what are you wearing? It's like, oh, God, don't ask me that. Don't ask me that. Because I can remember, wanting to get to know a guy or somebody and they'd ask me that, and my whole body would just shut down, exactly like it used to shut down because of my molestation. You know, it's like, but I don't have that anymore. I now have this vulnerability. It's like I became vulnerable in my intimacy, and I can tell I'm on a different plateau because nobody in my field right now has offended or triggered me sexually. You know, and that's like it's huge.
No, also, your excellence in communication really fosters your intimacy. You know, I mean, which is amazing because it's not about sexuality. It's just you have the gift of communication. You just do. And, you know, mm-hmm. It really, yeah, and so.
I'm telling you, though, it didn't always come that way. If I did
I
have
know,
the gift.
But something shifted. And I love how you created the Mystical Mother Earth Show in the void.
Well,
because where
it's
else
the
would it
only
ever
thing
come
I've
from?
Created. Oh, wow.
But isn't that perfect?
Yeah, no, it really is, because it's my one
like,
exception.
Of course.
Of course, exactly.
And that, you know, isn't that perfect? Because we do these things sometimes that seem so, you know, I don't know, they just happen, and it's because you thought of something, and then they don't seem even that much, but, you know, and then you look back and you go, wow, that was really something. So it's those sometimes to me are that's where all the magic is anyway. You know, it's in that place that you'd never expected it. Like, I just think back and think of all, I think about the 6 pieces of art I created in 2 years, not knowing that's what I was doing. And it wasn't until after, and then I looked back and I went, wow, I just created a new thing called initiation art, but I had no idea I was doing it. And and to me, that's the Mystical Mother Earth Show. Like, you look back now, and out of some void came this concept of yours that, you know,
an amazing gift you were ignited with.
And then you shared it with me, and I loved it. And you know, I actually, now that I think of that phone call, that because I remember it organically, distinctively, but it's as if it did come out of the void. I mean, literally, I could feel that, and I felt it then. And it was like,
wow.
Yeah, it was one of those moments where you go, hey, this is out of the void.
See, and I'll tell you, if the audience doesn't know, I'm telling you, Janine's ability to see the extraordinary in the ordinary is absolutely one of her gifts. And on several accounts, I can't remember now, but several accounts, she would catch things and say to me, whoa, and I'd be like, really, whoa? You know, just bending down and picking up that flower, and she's like, yeah, whoa. And then she'd explain it to me. And then, like, 2 days later, I would have the experience to help me understand how whoa that was. So, I mean, you have gift. You do. I wish I could remember the other things. It would have made the story better.
There are lots of them.
Well, because isn't that... Einstein basically said, you can look at everything as a miracle, or you can look at nothing as a miracle.
Right.
You see life miraciously. You do.
Thank you. You're welcome. And thank the void.
No, indeed.
But that is what I have noticed, you know, that, you know, it's great because we pass by it and we're like, yeah, whatever. And then, you know, it's the double take and you go, whoa, you know, and it's
exactly.
Those are the things that are momentous and magical. And that's what makes it fun for me is when, you know, I'm listening to people and I I hear them say something, and I'm like, yeah, stop, wait, whoa, you know, wait, we're, that,
so, right, you're so like, back up, that was big, and, you know, I'm telling you, several times I would scratch my head and go, you know, really, that's big,
yes.
And well, this, you know, is what sensitivity is. That, in my humble opinion, you're sensitive to it.
Or the ability to see connection, you know, in something.
Right.
I mean, Simon has that too, because Simon gifted me with one of his art pieces that was an iridescent orange, by the way, orange. Orange and gold little fish. And it turns out that in my book that he's reading, I have an iridescent orange and gold fish, who is quite the character of, who's, you know, very important. But he showed, that fish to me showed up out of the void. I mean, there was no conscious choice to go, and now I'm going to paint a fish. That wasn't it at all. And so where did that fish come from? Archetypally, you know, I don't know, but that fish, and then Simon in his collection of art has a iridescent orange and gold fish, and there, you know, there's a connection from somewhere, and I loved when Simon called us co-workers in the mystery, and I really do think that's true, that, and that's the connections that, like, they're just obvious to me in that, like, wait, there it is, you know, and so I'm real happy for that, and I love when I can tell people, wait, that was just very significant. You know, what you said or what just happened or, you know, that. So those are just great. You know, I mean, that makes everything magical and fun. And then what ends up happening, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but all the weirdness and overwhelm that we were feeling kind of goes away, because it's like,
absolutely,
you get brought back to those moments of, you know, oh yeah, remember that, and that was amazing, and, you know, and then you start to realize, I am supported, you know,
and
just things lighten up, and you're like, all right, you know, and you know, I'm gifted with that, like, when someone shares with me, oh my God, I have an iridescent orange and goldfish too, and, you know, that's to me, the big stuff.
Well, exactly. Well, in a world that's upside down, that makes total sense. It really does. It makes total sense.
And just for the listeners, too, I have been reminding myself of that a lot lately, that things just flip it around. Things are just...
Right.
Flip the belief system, because that's another thing that's been going on, where, you know, it's very obvious that our belief systems were just upside down, you know.
Oh yeah,
so,
they're as corrupt as everything else, but
right,
but
so,
by design,
so,
but by design, not by victim consciousness.
No,
by
no,
design.
No. And so
right.
You know, for me, you with the hawk and the snapping of the tree and the goldfish with Simon, and, you know, art, sweet words to us, and Grandpa. Peter Coyote that night on Saturday. That was so great to hear him. And, it's just like, honestly, that's the big stuff for me. That's like,
That's
the wealth.
That is the wealth. Well, you know, because, you know what's hitting me right now, too, is,
what?
You know, hey, last week I felt a lump on my breast, a bump.
Yeah.
Bump, bumpy lump. Well, and, you know, clearly I'm doing the work, because I'm not panicking about that.
Yeah, that could have really taken me on another way.
Yeah, no, and then that, shucks. I mean, I can really see how that can just spin somebody's top from here to, you know, Saturn. It's like, oh, my God. I mean, again, because it's in mass consciousness. I'm starting to just so clearly notice... Panic is a frequency. It is. And there's so much being, like, it's almost like a gas tank. It's being pumped. It's being pumped in through our TV, through our medias, you know, so much, the movies, religions in all their, you know, toxicity and corruption. And it's like, and yet, as George so eloquently puts it, no matter what they're throwing at us, we still have the choice and the capability of being at peace. I mean, uh-huh. we do. And how do I know this? Because I am. Now, uh-huh. I am not all the time. No, and that, you know, when I hit the fifth dimension, I'll be there all the time. Or, and I already know I've hit fifth dimension before. I mean, I hit it. I just don't stay there. And that's why, you know, I was telling, I don't know if it was Simon or Dennis, you know, part of, you know, and I think I even said this on Monday, I literally married Scott with the intention of him helping me. Like, I know I married my trigger. I know I did. You know, I'm not looking for him to be, you know, the peacemaker per se for me. That's he brings me joy. He makes me laugh like awesomely. But the one that helps me find peace is you, Janine, and Simon, and Art. My friends help me find peace. Because Scott thinks half the stuff we talk about on this show, you know, he thinks he does not believe as we believe.
Yeah.
And he does not have to. Because now that's another thing. If you had told me 5 years ago, if you had told me 2 years ago, I was going to marry somebody who was not, quote unquote, you know, spiritually aware like I am. Now, that's not to say that Scott's not spiritually aware, because his autism alone is his spiritual awareness. And it is, you know, I'm still trying to catch up to his awareness. But he doesn't use the language that we use. He doesn't use language, you know, barely at all. And that's not true. But it's just, you know, it's like, it's so funny, because if you had told me that, you know, I was going to end up marrying Scott, you know, I would have been like, no, you know, I'm going to marry, quote unquote, the perfect man. And I'm realizing my ego, the perfect man for my ego would have put me in a box, you know, totally taken care of all my needs, but never touched my soul.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, soulmates are not about making your life perfect. Soulmates are about helping you understand everything about you, the whole spectrum of who you are, not just the parts that, you know, partners aren't necessarily just about feeling good. Partners are about helping you grow and helping you to understand a deeper level and a deeper sense of self. And,
yeah,
you know, Scott clearly shows me a deeper sense of myself, because the more I'm present in my relationship with Scott, the more I see presence reflected back to me. You know, he really, he's in tune with me in that way. And, you know, and Janine is helping me, because, again, you know, we got 27 minutes.
Really?
You know, it's 9:30. You know, it's very important to know, and that, you know, there's so many people that, you know, we want our partners, our romantic partners, to be the end-all, to be-all. We want them to be, you know, our confidants, our therapists, our lovers, our best friends, you know, and it's like, I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but inherently and historically, I have never found my partner to be my everything. I did find it once in my life, but I was, like, completely high on cocaine. So that might have had something to do with it. But in my sobriety life, I've never found my man to be everything. They're a big chunk of, you know, the gifts that I want in my life. But I really do get, you know, like I've been joking around saying, you know, I love my husband, but, man, I couldn't do it without a girlfriend. I really couldn't, because it is with you that I become peaceful so that I can be peaceful for him. You know what I mean? Or I can at least bring that to our relationship, because me and Scott inherently, if it was just me and Scott and I had to process all the talking I need to do, we couldn't get along. And because
it wouldn't be healthy, and it's not really right placement, and it's unrealistic.
Totally not right.
Think,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, husband is, could be what a girlfriend is, because it's just, that's just not, it's just not like even biologically correct. And, you know, so, yeah, I mean, and I don't think it's really what relationships are meant to be, you know. I mean, for me, with how we talk, you're more taking responsibility for yourself rather than bringing that into a relationship that I think it doesn't belong, you know. Like,
I agree. I agree.
And that's where people take responsibility, and that's what self-work is about. It's not really about barraging the other person with your self-work. I mean, that's just...
Right.
It's just, that's really...
Our partner should not be our therapist. Our partner should not be our therapist. Somebody outside of the partnership should be the therapy for the partnership.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much learning going on in a relationship, but... when it comes to like self work, that's really where the, you know, you can, if you're trying to do your self work and bring it into, you know, the partner, it's just not going to work. It's wrong placement. And it's, you know, and in many ways it's not neutral territory, and that's good. So girlfriends, and then I'm sure, you know, I'm not speaking.
Well, and if you're smart, you'll pick a brilliant therapist, girlfriend. I happen to have, you know, really good soulful taste, so I got one with good comedic timing, and she's brilliant. I mean, come on, and she's awesome on the radio. I'm telling you, I and it's so funny because, in my humble opinion, I met Janine. I literally, my relationship with Janine is what allows me to have the best possible relationship I could have with Scott. And I say that because all of us should recognize, have somebody outside your personal relationship, exactly like Janine was just saying, to basically work your soul work. And then it's great because you come back to the relationship in these new ways and in these new confidences. And you can see it reflected back to you in the relationship. Because before it was Scott, it was my father that I was seeing it reflected back to me. And it's like, wow, it is. And it, so whoever it is, the relationship you might be having a challenge with, it might not be your spouse. Maybe, you know, you have an in-law living with you, or, you know, anybody, a landlord. It doesn't matter. I mean,
if we do self-work, which, you know, is just such a, I mean, it's such a great place of exploration. It really is, you know, the willingness to look at yourself and, you know, it's a great story. I always feel like it's really like celebration time when someone does that. But what ends up happening is that you really do shape-shift your environment and those around you, because there's just a different dynamic going on due to the fact that you've worked on yourself. So, the results are felt. And I, now that you're mentioning your father, you're right. That was happening. That was viscerally happening, you know.
Yeah.
And,
go ahead.
No,
I get so excited.
What was another one of those times where, you know, I was completely like in awe. You know, it was like, really? You know, it was miracle-like. It was miracle.
Yes.
It was
well, him being
stuff.
The sponsor for the show, I'm telling you, if you got to know my father, one of my father's like telltale cliche lines that he would say to all my friends when I used to bring them over, you know, to eat dinner or whatever, you know, you're going to pay for that meal? You know, we're taking it off your rent money. I mean, he was just, it was always the joking about the money. And when I first came into radio, I mean, he clearly stepped up and went, do not ask me for a dime. I am not here to support this. This is your whacked out dream. I want nothing to do with it. And, you know, I was like, okay, that's fine. And for him to, you know, have that conversation with me at the kitchen table, you know, a month ago, going, it would bring me such joy to let the people
amazing?
Know I can help my daughter with her dream. I'm like, yes, you can.
You know, amazing? I mean, that's amazing.
Oh, his glow. He was glowing over it. It was like, wow, that's a 180. I mean, he clearly came to a new space, and I truly believe he came to the new space because my relationship with him came to a new space. I'm a new person. And he, you know, because... Snap goes the wood, right? Well, it's the truth, right? Because everything is a reflection of self. I mean, one of my vows to Scott was one of the reasons why I love him so much is because I know him to be an aspect of me. And I personally find him to be brilliant. I mean, I tend to have a lot of brilliant people in my life. And brilliance is not about an intellectual, even though it can be expressed intellectually. Brilliance is really about, in Janine's case, her awareness and her ability to help me become aware of my own genius. Mm. Because we are all geniuses, but sometimes we need somebody to help us see that because... it's so subtle. It's so easy to just overlook our own brilliance, especially with the conditioning that says, don't pat yourself on the back. Oh, God forbid. No, don't say something nice about yourself. Then you're egotistical. Oh, you know, what a crock of shit that is. You know,
I'm
a genius, and Janine is helping me see that. And I love it because in my genius, I'm creating not only amazing relationships and challenges, definitely and challenges, because I wouldn't want a life without challenge. That's just me. But it's affecting other people around me. I mean, it really is.
That's kind of magical. And once again, you know, now I'm fascinated with this new thing you brought up about, you know, because I did listen to it, but like you saying it brought it up more, but... about
okay.
That could just be another reduction in entities, you know, where why does the room feel different? Why do people are responding differently? Why, you know, what is your change doing to them? You know, if there's entities attached to these, you know, I'm going to make, I'm just saying this, but
okay.
Don't take it too seriously. But
hypothetical.
No, or to this dysfunctional, you know, emotional, you know, what isn't really natural for human beings. It's like, you know, is that really who we are? No.
Oh,
no.
Exactly.
Right.
Right on.
Right, because when we're at our best, so to speak, you know, we are, you know, master communicators, master lovers, master, you know, we're not, you know, so what, you know, that just fascinates me now that perhaps as you do more and more of this confrontational of self work and bring up the unconscious and take responsibility and become learn by contrast, like, oh yeah, that's what that feels like. Well, you know, gonna do that differently next time or now. It's just like, hey, you know, it's like it's reducing that entity count, you know, and maybe
exactly.
That's why it's so distinctively feeling different.
You know, I got to share something with you because this is so brilliant. And okay, so like me and you, we love talking about self work. You know, both of us. I mean, and I get it. I, you know, if we had a time clock, I have more on the clock than you do. And I'm grateful for that. But we just love it. Me and Simon also. And Simon, feel free if you want to share anything about, you know, this identifying self. I'll read it on the air because you have something to share. I have a sense, but it's up to you. Anyways, now I have a beautiful friend who will remain nameless. This is what I found for me. Like, I love talking to anybody that's open to doing the inner work, and I'm not attached to how far you are, how not far you are. It's the willingness to do the work. Because this friend of mine, our conversations will be going flowy, flowy, flowy. Everything feels good. And then all of a sudden, I'll feel I'll just hit a wall. And what happens is his dialogue changes. He becomes more wordy. And my anxiety level goes, like, in 3.8 seconds, it's at a 90. And I literally talked to him today. I go, and you know what it is? It's when he stops being him. This entity that is like, it's the entity that he, because he won't take responsibility. When the questions, you know, in my communication, I can quickly and easily bring someone around to, okay, so where's your responsibility in that? I mean, it's because that's the nature of this work, is ultimately it's got to be coming from the I am. I am responsible for this. It's not outside. I'm not mad at my boyfriend. I'm triggered because that is inside me. Now I need to integrate it. Those are the basic language when we're doing the work. And you know, he starts just getting dialogue-y with me, and all of a sudden it hit me. I went, see, I'm dealing with an entity that is surrounds him like a moat. And he's allowed to be himself until the question comes up. And once the question comes up, it's almost like an electrical fence that the dogs can't pass through. And it shocks me. Every time I try to go to pull it, and I told him, I said, listen, you know, because he's like, well, I really love talking to you. And I'm like, okay, well, if you want to continue to talk to me, if you're not going to choose to consciously starve this entity and work your way out, just starting to do that, I'm going to charge you for the time that we talk. Because, you know, then now you're a client, you know, because...
Yeah.
What I found is, because the night before I had hit this wall with him, when I was frustrated, Scott was dealing with some legal issues. He was frustrated. As soon as I hung up the phone, that energy found Scott through my words. I basically told Scott to stop drumming something, which asked that woman, Sonny, you know, that autistic woman, Sonny, that did that video. She'll tell you that, you know, drumming, stimmies, you know, they got to move. In other words, when Scott's frustrated, he's going to rock, he's going to drum, he's going to do something. But he was drumming something that at the time, as soon as I hung up the phone, it was like 30 seconds of him doing something. It was like, all right, I can't hear it. Shut up. And I was like, stop drumming. And when it hitchhiked. I was like... And then, of course, see, when Scott gets mad, he needed space the rest of the night. I didn't, you know, we didn't make love last night. We didn't talk before we went to bed. I'm learning these things because that's why I told my friend today, my relationship with Scott means more to me than playing with your entity in frustration. So here are the rules. Either I said, as soon as your wall comes up, you're on the clock and I'm going to charge you. Or I'll hang up, and I don't, you know what I mean? Because I could see how it became an entity in me, but I don't even, you know, I guess I have it in me. That hasn't been starved, but it doesn't, I don't have an entity in me that is winning the war of me not doing the work. You know, so that's how I was like, whatever this is, I'm putting a stop to it. But it was very interesting because I literally saw, I went, oh, my God, it's as soon as we start talking about it being yours that he stutters or he gets into this whole analytical dialogue of just bullshit, to be quite. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. You know what I mean? Just, you know, spiritual nonsense. And it never turns to the verbalizing of him going, and I own that, which is ultimate. Because I'll be like, stop with all the words. Do you own it, yes or no? And he'll run around it, and I'm going, holy shit, that's an entity.
Yeah.
Because it was after I listened to George's thing. So, I mean, it's something to be conscious of, you know, because you'll feel it. You'll feel the shift in a person when an entity comes in their voice. You know, And I don't know, maybe it's you helping me do this, and I think it's you in the sense of, because you're so subtly attuned to the people that are in your world, I desire that being in tune that well as much too. You know what I mean? It's like you're showing me it's possible, so I'm now intending it. And you can really see, because remember that the day when my cousins were over and my father got triggered?
Yeah.
And that whole fight is an entity that is in fear of me becoming, you know, powerful with the girls and also, you know, triggering my father's insecurity. I think you're right on the money that how much of the human experience organically, if just left to our own devices, has anything to do with the polarized opposite. You know, I really,
that's not our, you know, that's why, okay, so it's probably, it's not our natural state. And so that's why when we witness these unnatural behaviors or these dysfunctional behaviors or these behaviors that are, you do get a sense of like, oh, this just doesn't feel right. You know, it's like, wait a minute, this isn't who we are. And yet, you know, it is happening. So I do think that, you know, and I love how you handled it, though, that because first of all, it's with a bit of humor, but it's also a great boundary that, okay, when you started on charging you, I really love that.
Well, you know what it is? You just got a $10,000 check, so
it was great humor, but it was also really poignant boundaries and, you know, probably made an impression, you know.
No, and it did. It did. It did.
Yeah.
He said that.
Yeah.
Yes. Because he goes, it's not my intention.
I love that, though. Okay, now you're on the clock. now you and your entity are on the clock. It's like
which I can have disconnection as a client, you know, but as a friend, because I'm noticing this entity, so to speak, or this the frequency of this entity is in several people now that I think about it, because I've been with several people that just don't want to change. Oh, and by the way, I want to get this in before the show. Simon wrote that I'm applying the world of self-worth into the experience I'm having with the two of you on the radio right now. That's all.
Oh, nice.
Even though you guys don't know Simon the way I know Simon and Janine does, but Simon's brilliant. Simon is brilliant. And see, that's another thing I'm finding.
Wait, could you read that again? Because, like, I want to hear it again.
Sure. I'm applying the world of self-worth into the experience I'm having with you two on the radio right now. That's all.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay, but wait. He wrote, all the talk about entities is triggering me immensely right now, and it's definitely something I have to work on. I think what you say about starving those energies by being authentic is brilliant and truth. And truth is made out of it. Right on.
And by the way, self-worth is the best antidote for that.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because, see, we've been taught that we can't, you know, we've been taught that this is part of the human experience. Lie.
Yeah.
It is part of the human experience, but it's not the human part of us doing it.
It's our true nature, you know. Just
it's
like,
not our true nature.
Like
that's the way
when
to
we
say
connect,
it. Exactly.
When we, you know, and the Earth knows that, you know.
The Earth does know that exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, and so you know, when people are like, "Oh, but humans have been dark for eons," it's like, okay, we have been. But we're in 2012. We're doing a galactic alignment with the center of the universe. Things have changed around here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in that change, truly, the essence that's coming out of us is not these addictions, is not these qualities of codependence, of vampirical, and you know, the sucking of energy off of everyone and everything because we can't generate it ourselves. Oh, come on. Nothing could be further from the truth. We are completely self-generating. And they knew that, and they knew that this time was coming. So, you know, they did their damnedest to get us in their harvest. But the truth is, if we choose it, every entity that's in us can be starved through self-worth, through self-choice that says, you know, is it going to be easy? No, it's going to be challenging, but is it totally possible? Oh, my God, hands down, feet up. It's totally possible. Totally.
Yeah.
It's
and
probable in most cases. If you're doing it, my guess is you know, in other words, if the goal is to integrate all of these aspects and go into the fifth dimension, it's already a done deal. We're just living out the experience of how we got there.
Yeah, and cleaning house.
And including windows. Yes. I'm
That's
telling
good.
You, I feel so good right now, Jay. I mean, I really do feel so good.
That's good.
Okay, wait a minute.
See?
He wants. Yeah, no, it's phenomenal. Anyway, he wants to elaborate. I want to elaborate to you. My darkest fear was forged around the year 2000, where me and my mother were living together in the woods by ourselves, and my mother was very into shamanism and used to drum herself into ecstasy. What happened that summer and continued through the whole winter is that our home got invaded.
Whoa.
Invaded by what, Simon? Entities or physical beings that are carrying entities? Because, you know, as we talk about this, you know, a total petri dish, so to speak, of entities, in my humble opinion, the military.
Okay.
Because, God, we are breeding the humans to be angry, to kill, to be numb, you know, to be power mongers. Jesus, talk about, you know, the potential for entity buffets.
Yeah. Or just really, I mean, for me, I guess what I've come upon tonight is, you know, that is not our true nature. It's just not. I mean, we know that,
right.
You know, and so
right.
That's why it feels so, like,
foreign.
Contrary. Yeah. So
yeah.
Foreign, so contrary. And, you know, and when you see it, it's so obvious that, you know, it is, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because when you see on the news talk about invasion and home invasion, when I see on the news, they'll even use that expression, which is strange to me because it's something new, where they'll be, oh, yeah, she was a victim of a home invasion, or and I'm like, you know, and it's like, I don't even like, why did, you know, so it activates that, you got to be careful.
Well, it's from the same agenda. Think about it, the whole ET evade, you know.
Conscious of these languages and these words. Very similar to what you hear on the television a lot, even the well-intended like Dr. Oz. But, like, you know, I just find that stuff really not – I know it's well-intended, but it just seems like it's – the approach
it's
is
distorted.
Just –
distorted.
It is distorted. It's almost – if you followed it back to where it really should, you know, be talking, it's just not there. And so
it's really not.
they
try awful hard, but because it was so funny, I had seen something online that said you shouldn't be drinking anything out of a can because the aluminum has a lot of properties that are basically poisonous to us,
right?
And Dr. Oz's whole thing was, and these things can be found in a can. And they're cheap and they're quick to prepare, and I'm going, you know, that's interesting. One, you know, I had just seen before I went over there, somebody posted it on Facebook, you know, that, you know, this whole, I personally don't open up the whole health things.
Yeah.
I just follow my heart, and of course I have entities, now that I'm aware of the entity from the whole chocolate cake perspective,
right.
I mean, I just love the idea that I'm already involved myself in a 100-day challenge, because it'll become incorporated into it and I'm going to set the intention, you know, okay, let's starve the entity and start eating foods that are, you know, more in aligned with who I am,
mm-hmm.
not the entity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I love color, and you were talking about the colors of foods, but I also think that just being conscious and wearing those colors, and you know, are also affect us in a good way, in a well way.
In a frequency. So, I agree.
Yeah, in a total frequency, because I know, I'm a big proponent of, you don't necessarily have to eat it, but you can be wearing it, you can be looking at it, you can,
Remember when Anthony told me to get the orange flowers?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was laughing about that because I went, oh, wow. And I had brought up my little bump on the show. So, it was all part of the ceremony. Yeah.
So I'm it's those kinds of things, like that's, basic foods with colors is great. I mean, I also think that color, the vibration of color is really probably more what it's about.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. It's the essence of what is the healing.
Yeah. And so, and I happen to love color and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right on. I love it with your blue and purple trees. We like that. We do. I mean that sincerely. I love it. I pictured on that today.
I think I'll paint an orange forest. Oh, I do have a yellow and orange forest.
Totally. Yes, you do. Yes.
I think I sent you that picture too.
You did. It's hanging on my wall at home. In fact, once I figure out, where the majority of my time will be spent, I'm going to bring those pictures over here inevitably.
Yeah.
So, we are at the top of our 2 hours, my sweet friend.
Wow, that's amazing, and I can't believe that.
Yeah, I know.
That's great.
Well, I can't believe I flipped. I mean, I'm flipped totally. I'm just good. I feel amazing. I feel calm, and I don't feel so. My chest doesn't feel so tight. So thank you. I really appreciate it.
The beauty of your radio show.
And the beauty of the brilliance of who I surround myself with. Truly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Right on. It's great. So where can people find you?
New Jersey.
Yes, look for, wait, what's homeboy's name? Andy Briago, or you can find Janine in the chair.
The Garden State.
You're fun. Don't go any more specific than that. We are on the air, so don't do that.
No, I know.
Okay.
www.jlkimmel.com and springtreepress.com. So love to hear from anyone who wants to contact me.
Oh, and Janine Kimmel on Facebook, right? No L on Facebook?
No, it is Janine L. Kimmel.
Oh, okay. So Janine L. Kimmel on Facebook. And
yes.
if you go to my friend, she's there. And then if you, click on her, you can be friends with Janine.
Thanks.
So, yeah, thank you. Thank you. I mean, truly, thank you for everything.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I want to send the callers from Saturday night a signed magic gown book. Because Yeah, I just realized that because it was always my intention that a caller would I would love to send them a signed book. So I'll have to figure that out.
Okay, I know Ellen. So you're okay, and
yeah.
Daniel has already messaged me through BTR to ask me to be on his show. I invited him on my show and told him to answer me through email. Once he answers me through email, we'll have his email, and then I can either connect you two or just be the liaison, however that works. And Dennis, that's right.
And the man from Canada.
Daniel.
No, the other guy that had a beautiful.
Oh, Sylvain.
Yeah. So that's.
Oh, I got him too.
And I should send Peter Coyote one too.
Right on. Oh, look at you, girl. I think that's fantastic. I'll totally help you gather and converse on that.
Yeah,
so.
That'll be fun.
Right on. Awesome. Okay, so Monday nights. Well, yeah, we're there. We could still go another 55 minutes. Just one of those nights. We are Monday nights, the Mystical Mother Earth Show, 8 to 10 Eastern Time, me and Janine. Next week, I don't have a guest booked. You know, who knows? Could be Janine again. I'm just flying with how it comes. And everybody have, you know, an incredible day and an incredible night and an incredible weekend. just be incredible.
And thanks for listening.
Yeah, right on. Right on. Right on. Without you guys, you know, right. We're just two people talking to each other. But with you guys, we are a radio show. All right, I love you. Yeah, you're amazing. Stay amazing, Janine. You just wear it so well.
All right,
and I will
thank
talk.
You. I love you too. Bye,
right
everybody.
Bye. See you soon.
You've been experiencing another reality show with Golden Hawk. Another reality show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments? Email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.